line, and we need to be praying. So, Mom, hit it. That's so important. You know, it's also important to keep a open heart and a humble mindset as a student. You know, we're all called to be students in life, right? We're to learn from each other. We're to learn from the Word, and we are always supposed to be searching God's Word on how to apply it to our lives. And I remember Emily is downstairs teaching JV with her husband, Chris, and such a continued learner. She always wants to be learning and always inspired me to think about, because I stink at technical things. Like, I'm terrible. And I sometimes just turn my brain off because I don't want to learn it because I'm not good at it. And it always, when I get around, my mom's a continued learner too. But we always want to be learning. And when we're in the Bible studying things, we don't want to be learning things for other people. Right? You ever have someone just try to find something and just try to weaponize the scriptures for you? I'm going to school you. I'm going to preach at you. And how the Lord wants us to read the Word is, how can I apply this to my life? And that's a healthy mindset when we're reading. So I have been studying, and what I'm studying, God's talking to me about. I'm going to say we're on this journey together because we're just going to go into it. But I've been studying the people of God that God used. We talked about how people were his friends. And just people that were used greatly, and I'm seeing this commonality of honoring God and honoring people, how we treat people. And I was studying the kings, and I taught about Josiah a couple months ago, and I was connecting certain stories. And has anyone heard of King Uzziah? King Uzziah, okay. He has found his story in depth in two different places, 2 Kings 15, 1 through 6. And you know, 2 Kings 15, 1 through 6, you only remember the bad. I was like, geez, there's got to be more to his story. Isn't it sad that sometimes we remember people by how they finish in life? And so when I went to 2 Chronicles 26, it was the full story. And I'll tell you, I could learn some really great things from his life. But it was something as a leader, because he's here, he's the leader of Judah at the time, that I was like, I want to learn to not fall into the same trap that he did. And so I was just looking at it. And so the title of my message today about King Uzziah is Run in Your Lane and Trust Your Team. Everybody say this, run in my lane and trust your team. You can apply this to business. Oh my gosh, you can apply this to roles in your family, being a great neighbor, apply this to the workplace, apply it to church. We're all called on a team. Did you know we're on Team Jesus? Do you know we have different teams that meet in different buildings on Sunday? Sorry, I shouldn't say team. We're one family, but come on, we just can't all fit in one building. And we need to learn how to work together. And you know, it's so beautiful as a pastor, one of my most favorite things is praying with someone and God revealing what their lane is. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, you're like a gifted evangelist, or oh my gosh, you're gifted in worship, or gifted in intercessory prayer, or you're gifted an encourager. It's my favorite place. I was like, oh my gosh. And it's not me putting that title on them. It's like we found it together in prayer. And so I want to encourage all of you guys, pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what's my lane? What is the gift and the lane I'm supposed to run with? And then, ready for this? Partner yourself. Put people on your team that are good at things that you're bad at. Oh my gosh, that's what I always do. I was like Emily was like really good at tech stuff. My husband's good at everything I'm not good at. Married so well. It's a long list. And not only is life more enjoyable, it's a better life. It's a more successful life. And so I'm learning from him. So where did I want to go in this? There's so much. Okay, here we go. All right, school season is... Do you guys remember back to school and then your teacher passes along the papers and then they're like, oh, we have a big... group project. And everybody, when they say group project, there's no one happy in the room. It's all like the, because people are hard. But I love people. Don't be a pastor unless you love people, okay? It's gonna get messy. But when you go through, just imagine yourself back in school and they said, okay, you're gonna be in a group project and ready for this. They're like, and it's gonna be like the older you get, the bigger chunk of your grade. Because they're putting more of an emphasis on how you work with other people. So all of a sudden they're like, hey, it's going to be 40% of your grade. Oh, working with other people. Fantastic. And then my brain, and you know, they kind of count you off or they put you in teams or whatever. And you look around and ready for this. No names, because no, just don't think who they are. Think who you are. There is the person that just doesn't care okay? And they're just going to go with it, right? You're just like looking at the clock and be like, hey, listen, just want to keep the peace. What, you come up with a plan, I'm going to roll with it, person, right? And then there's the person that has the opinion that needs to be heard and wants the credit, but doesn't want to do any of the work. You guys, don't say name, right? Okay, just think which one you are. I was like brainstorming here, okay? There's the person that commits but never shows up to any of the meetings. Like, I'll be there, I'll bring the donuts, never shows up. We're bringing the donuts, okay? Don't joke around about that. And then there's the person, there's the person that takes over. Like, and now there's like the good person that kind of gets everybody organized, you know, gets everybody. It's like, I like the person gets people organized, right? Andrew, like organized, but you know, helps everybody. Okay. Get everybody talking, everybody kind of getting a plan. But then there's the person that takes over the entire thing because they believe that if you just do what they say, it'll just be the best because they know the best. Anybody been in, you guys remembering school now? Yes. And teachers are like, yep, I know. Because they come up to you after, what, about 2 weeks of class projects. And then they're like, but this person did this and that. And you're going, you're going to have to figure it out, right? Because this is life. Life is an ongoing group project, right? Come on, how many emails do we get on those copied in on person? It's a group project. Okay. So I'm going to talk about the trap of King Uzziah because King Uzziah was the takeover guy. King Uzziah was the bulldozer that just said, I have been successful in life, and you guys should just kind of step aside and let me do what I think is best. Anybody ever been, don't raise your hand. You ever been on that team? Don't say if you're that person, but we have a lot to learn from this. Okay, here we go. Okay, so let's talk about King Uzziah. King Uzziah was 8 generations after David. So everybody knows famous King David, right? So 8 generations after, at the age of 16, his father is assassinated. And he learned a bit from his father, how his father's life ended. He started out really, really strong, and then he fell into idols. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to learn from that. I'm not going to go down the path of idols, but how many people know there are other paths we can go down that can be destructive? But the majority of his life, I'm telling you, he did really cool stuff that have been proven in archaeology. I was listening to some of the things that they had dug up, like things that he had done with his life that were profound that his name was still on. And he reigned for 52 years in the southern kingdom of Judah. So he was a southern boy. And 52 years was a very long time to reign back then. Most people did something stupid and they got rid of you really early. So he was the second longest reigning king in Judah. Because he was a young leader at the age of 16, I know I have some people that are round about that age in the room, he kind of realized really quick, I need God. I wake up every day, I'm 43, I need Jesus. Raise your hand if you wake up going, I need Jesus. Guys, that's humility. And I think if that's the first thing we think up going, I am in over my head, I need Jesus, I can't get through this day without him, that's a really good place to be. Because the grace of God comes in like a flood. So he started out that way. So 2 Chronicles 26, 4 through 5, the Amplified Classic says this. This is what is recorded about King Uzziah's life. It said, he did right in the Lord's sight. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the things of God. So something I noted right now is he had some advisors, he had some mentors in his life that taught him some stuff. So that tells me he had a humble student, continued learner ear. And I think that's just good to do. And we have to seek those things out. And they're not always older than you. Sometimes they're just more experienced in an area that you need. I stink at math. I'm terrible at it. They offered me my first job in accounting, and I said, I will tank your company. So you know what I do? I surround myself with people that are really good with what finance and investment and things like that, right? Because I want to learn. All right, so it's good to find people that are good at things and have found success in things that we're not. This is good. It's humble. And they did some research because it didn't specify who Zechariah was. But based on the context, they believe he was possibly a priest, possibly a prophet. It doesn't say, but it does say this. I think if he was a priest or prophet, it would say. It said this, that he taught him to fear God. So I actually think he probably was an advisor in the king's court that really had a deep relationship with God. Because they normally tell you he's a prophet or a priest. So I want to say this. I know that there are people in this house that have skill sets in business, that have skill set in parenting, that have skill sets in construction, that love the Lord. And truly, to fear God means to honor him. And man, those are the kind of people I want speaking in my life. And so it said this, as long as he was following godly counsel, man, he was really blessed. So just to review this, we talked a little bit about this last week. Fearing God is sometimes mistranslated based on culture. It's not, I'm scared of God, like, oh my gosh, he's going to strike me down. But it means having an honor of reverence, like an awe. When you walk in the room, man, like, God is here. I don't want to take him for granted. You know, he's the creator of heaven and earth. And there's this reverence that goes with this. It's the greatest respect. And if you truly respect and honor, we will obey him, right? So Psalms 111 verse 10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. So this king, he started out going humble, I need God. And he surrounded himself with trusted advisors that taught him to what? Fear God, or AKA honor, respect, revere God above all. And so because he was seeking God and because of his humble heart to honor the Lord and the things of the Lord blessed him. And he became very successful at a young age. How cool is that? So if you ever talk to someone where they started a business at a young age and God just blessed them, I want to listen and go, man, what did you do? What can I learn from you? So first of all, James 4, 8 through 10, the New King James Version says this. When you draw near to God, that means when I'm seeking God, when I'm cozying up in his presence, in the word, in worship. It says, when I draw near to him, he will draw near to me. He wants to hang out. If I want to hang out with God, he wants to hang out with me. Isn't that great? It's always this open door policy. And then it kind of sandwiches something in. It says, now wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, you double-minded. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And I'm like, wow, that's like a real ouch right there. I was like really excited about the first part. But you got to read the second part. So what does that mean? It says this, let there be tears for what you have done. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. I'm like, oh, you know, just sometimes we just, you know, get like I talk about the Oreo cookie. We just lick the cream out and put it back. So there was some, you know, there's some stuff in there. So what am I learning? Seek God. And when you seek God, man, he's going to deal with your life. There's going to be some correction in there. And all of us have messed up along the way. So just quickly repent. Humble yourself, and man, what's he going to do? He's going to honor you and lift you up. And this is just this process of seeking God. So this humble heart that is quick to own our mistakes and repents, man, it just keeps us safe, and it keeps us blessed. So Proverbs 22, verse 4, and you'll see this in the downfall of Uzziah, because he kind of forgot this in his success later in life. It says, the reward of humility, the reverent and worshipful fear of God is riches, honor, and life. So there is a reward for honoring God, for keeping a humble heart. And, you know, the greatest reward in life is Jesus. It doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account. It doesn't matter if you got a boat or not. Guys, they're the most wealthy, successful people in the world that are miserable. And we know that people, and I don't joke around this, have even taken their own lives. And I'm like, you have it all. Why? The greatest reward is him, because with Jesus comes fulfillment and peace and joy and a purpose of he'll reveal your lane. He'll show you, I gave you these gifts. And man, when you run in this, it's going to bring a blessing to all that you're sent to, and it's going to be a blessing to your team. So let's get back to the story here. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5, Amplified Classic says this, as long as King Uzziah sought another translation says, inquired for. Another translation says, yearned for. My heart aches. When Brad's gone, if he has like, he was leading worship at another church, and I missed him. Like, I yearned to be with him. By the way, we're getting our six-year anniversary next week. And my husband reminded me, because he's awesome. You know? But when you love someone, you can't wait to spend time with them, right? And it says, as long as Uzziah remembered to seek God, to yearn for him, to honor him, to crave him, God made him prosper. He blessed him. That means he's running in his lane. I'm seeking God. And God would just make things work out. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's going to work out. All right, so he started out really strong under
good advice, with good counsel, and honoring God in humility. All right, and then God blessed him. And in verses 16 through 15, it's very interesting, and for the sake of time, I'll say go back and read it. But archaeologists have proven his great, what would you say? I'd say this, he was a man gifted in business. It's very interesting. A lot of kings were only political, right? And you know, you can be political and not get anything done. This man got it done. So this man actually, he said that he loved to farm. I was like, that's a pretty humble thing, thinking about a king getting his hands in the dirt. He loved to farm. He created ranches. He created self-sustaining businesses so the king had an income. So he wasn't just taxing the tar out of people. I kind of like that king, right? All right. So he had vineyards. He had farms. He had ranches. And he was so prosperous as a king that he did something none of the other kings did. He supplied the army. Now, I didn't know this, but back then the ancient kings just said, hey, guess what? You're in the army. Go bring your own weapons, provide your own armor. Good luck with that. And that's a lot of times why they showed up with pitchforks. That's all they had. And I think this is a man that honored people serving him. I really do, because he didn't have to do that. That wasn't the culture of the time. And it said that he supplied his army, the guys that had his back. So it didn't just tax the tar out of the people. He kind of, I'm going to, you know, help with the economy here, and I'm going to create some businesses to take the pressure off. And now I'm going to supply my army with the best swords and spears and armor. I'd be like, that's the guy I want to serve, you know? So he had the respect here. It's just interesting what success was. So I really do see him honoring people, all right? And he built towers, he built cities, he expanded territories. And in the ancient times, a successful king straight up just won wars, expanded territories. You know, if you did that, that was like, you're a good guy. But he was also innovative. He partnered with, I'd say back then, the scientific brains, the mechanical brains of the day. And he's like, hey, this is what you're really good at. I'm going to challenge you. Can you create something that hauls rocks and shoots arrows at people from our walls? And they did it. And they installed, I think very innovative, they installed these machines in ancient times, which is way ahead of his time. And so it what protected the people. So I'm seeing him finding people's gifts and honoring them. And I just think it was just so cool. So he had a great military strength. He was known for political achievement. And I've just got winded pregnant. So here we catch my breath. All right. Verses 6 through 7, Amplified Classic. It said, because of the success, his fame spread abroad. That means other countries were talking about him because he was different than the other kings. And it said this, for he became very strong and God helped him against the Philistines and his enemies. All right. And it says this again in verse 15. It says, his fame spread far, for God made him very powerful and he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Now, this is kind of like the you know, like the plot twist moment. So God repeats himself because he doesn't want you to forget something. So he keeps saying he did all the successful stuff because he sought me and I helped him. Everything he did was because what? God helped him. And he's called to be a king and God helped him and he became strong. But his success, God, first of all, God made him successful because what? Of his humility and his honor. Honor for God. And like I said, I'm seeing and how he treated people. I just think it's fascinating how he treated what his team. And this is the turning point in the story. Verse 16, it said, but, and when there's a but, you kind of pay attention. But when King Uzziah was strong, he became proud to his destruction. When King Uzziah became successful and strong, because God made him what? Successful and strong, it's really good to not remember, it's really good to not forget where you come from and who made you who you are today. You ever have someone that that got you that job interview, that taught you everything they know? You got to remember who helped get you where you are. Otherwise, you can start to get arrogant, proud, and take advantage of people. So he became proud to his destruction. Just told you the end of the story. It says, he trespassed against the Lord his God, for he went. Now, this is bananas. And you're going to go, what? And we're going to break it open. So this is like the deep middle, okay? For he went into the temple to burn incense on the altar of incense. All right, we're going to break into the significance of that statement here. So King Uzziah was successful, But that led him to a hidden trap of sin called pride. And we all wrestle with pride, right? Come on, remember, we're not supposed to hurl this at someone else and weaponize this message. We're to look at ourselves. Because I think all of us have areas that God has blessed us in, whether it be in a relationship, a trade, a hobby, and we can become proud of those things. But we need to stay humble, remember us who blessed us to begin with. All right, so God blessed Uzziah in his kingly duties. God blessed Uzziah because he was in his lane. Do you hear me? He was gifted in business. He was gifted as a leader, as a politician, and so forth. Now, this is interesting. Remember, God puts you in a lane, and God puts you also on a team. And man, when you all run together in the same direction, and you honor your team, man, it's blessed. And this is what Uzziah did, okay? First of all, anybody ever done a swim or track? I did neither. I am not that cool. I read books, but I had friends that were athletic, okay? Anybody, one of my friends that was athletic that did swim team or track, or maybe your kids are doing it. You ever watched a track meet? I'd say this because it's hard to look underwater. But you ever watch a track meet where someone wasn't paying attention and got a foot in the other lane? What happens? They trip up, and here's the catch. Not only do they trip up, they take other people down with them. If it's a relay race, man, you take your own team down. But no matter what, you lose. And gosh, I remember watching a famous movie back in the day where it was the qualification run for the Olympics. This person trained their whole life and they accidentally stepped outside their lane. So this is what's going on with King Uzziah. All right, so Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, an arrogant spirit before a fall." That's, we know that, and it sounds really good until you apply it to your own life, okay? All right, so pride opens the door to deception. Obadiah 1:3 says, "You have been deceived by your own pride." All right, so we're going to dig into what this meant. So verses 16 through 17, it says this, "But when King Uzziah was strong, he became proud to his destruction. He trespassed." Trespass means he did God wrong. He sinned against God. I'm sure we've all been trespassed against, right? Someone got into something they shouldn't have done and it hurt us, right? So it says this, "He trespassed against the Lord his God, for he went into the temple to burn incense on the altar of incense." The English Standard Version says this, "But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor." Now this is interesting. This is Uzziah's team. They're just called into a different lane, but these are what his team. So Uzziah is what? He's the king. He's the king of the whole country, right? And he's really gifted in business and the political thing and the people side. But God gave him what? A team of priests. And this is a big team. This is 80 priests, okay, that have spent their entire life serving the Lord. These are servant leaders. Okay, now if you look at the Old Testament, what was going on in the temple were many different layers of prayer, worship, intercession, and offering. So, you know, we have the worship team here. We have the offering team. We have people serving in the back and praying for people. This is a diverse team that have humbly, and these are not like the limelight people, have humbly served the Lord and been trained in this capacity. And this is what the Lord calls them. They were men of valor. So if you look up the definition in the dictionary of valor, it means honor with great courage and strength in the face of danger. That was a dangerous thing to go stand and kind of confront the king because the king has overstepped. I mean, he could just off with their head, you know? So I want to take a pause here. So the king, remember, he was honoring God and honoring people and in his lane. And God blessed him tremendously. But something in him decided that he was entitled because he was so successful when he was the king to go in and just take over another team's job because he was going to do it better. Or he was entitled because I am successful and I've done really good in my lane in life and I can go take over someone else's. Okay? Now, this happens more than you know. Remember, we're supposed to what? Apply it to our own lives. It is really easy to overstep, right? When you've gotten successful in business or in marriage or family and you start telling someone else how to run their life. Now, I know we laugh because we're like, ooh, I think we all kind of do that a little bit. Now, it's one thing to give what advice and counsel because God is glorified in diverse counsel and leadership. You can give counsel, but you can't make someone do it. Do you hear me? It's okay to give counsel, right? Because diversity is good. We all learn from each other, right? But sometimes it can rub you the wrong way. But the catch is this, but overriding, move aside, I'm going to go do it for you, right? Remember the group project person? Bulldozing and taking it, okay? King Uzziah is not being a really good team player right now, nor is he being a good leader. He's the takeover guy. And this is how it plays out. 2 Chronicles 16:18, and we're going to dive in way past the obvious on this one. 2 Chronicles 16:18, it says, now this is a team of what the high priest and his group of 80 servant leaders in the church that have been given the task of their entire life to lead in worship, to lead in prayer, in offering, in ministry to the Lord, okay? And they're people of valor. That means they're people of honor, okay? And it says, they confronted King Uzziah and said, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is the work of the priests alone, and this is very specific, of the descendants of Aaron. So it wasn't just the priests, it was a specific group of them. And that was their delegated task that God had given them, who are set apart for this work. You know what? Everyone knows what he's doing, right? The whole town, the whole country, everyone knows his success. And you're taking the one little thing that no one else sees, but they're just honoring the Lord with it. Something to think about. He said, get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. This is heavy. The Lord will not honor you for this. Interesting. The Lord will not honor you for this. In other words, this is in God's hands. Here, you just deliver the message, hey, you've overstepped, you've taken over, you're doing something you're not called to do, you've just bulldozed your team, you know? But the Lord's not going to honor it. And what they're saying is this, God is not going to honor when we push to take over a job that has not been given to us. It's quiet because we're all going, what? We're thinking about our own lives. Because this is tempting for anybody in the workplace, in a volunteer position, in an event you're running, and even in your family, if you think about this. God has given everyone a job. And if we're trying to take, usurp, grab something that was not specifically given to us, God's not going to honor that. Because what? He honors and blesses us when we run in our lane. It's so quiet in here. This is good, right? Because we're all learning. I'm learning for me, right? Okay. The servant leaders already had this very small task totally covered and didn't say they were doing a bad job. It didn't say they were dishonoring the Lord, but it was covered. So what happened when you start looking at this, and we're going to dig into it, some of the fatal flaws of Uzziah is, number one, he had stopped fearing and honoring God. He just ran into the temple, just grabbed some stuff, threw it together, and watch out, I know how to do this best. Now, I've been in youth and young adult ministry for 20 years. I grew up in the church, and I'm still learning. But I have seen this. And I'll tell you, I'm going to use the worship team because Brad and I, we know our lanes. And you know what? We work really well together. And listen, Brad counsels me. He gives me wisdom. And I give my 2 cents, sometimes $20, you know wives, right? You know, so listen, it's good to share. What iron, we can all learn from each other. But I'll tell you, when Brad is doing what he is called to do, I had so much fun in worship. I just did. And watching this team shine. And listen, I can hold a tune. And there were seasons in life where I was in a teaching mode. Does that make sense? Where I was teaching people how to flow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and things like that. Not worship, but learning how to hear from the Holy Spirit and flow. That season, they got this. And you are such a blessing. I was blessed by celebrating what they were called to do. Now, I have seen this as, okay, now raise your hand, be careful. Actually, maybe don't. We don't raise our hands in this message, okay? I have been to so many churches where a church leader or a pastor goes up and takes over. I have been to churches where the pastor is the self-appointed worship leader. And I was like, I mean, if you have no one else, you know, maybe there is no one else that could possibly do it. Okay, I get it, for what, a small season. Your job is to train someone else to run in that lane, because it's really not your lane. And it's never really, from what I've seen from afar, healthy. It just generally squashes creativity, and it withholds people from making mistakes. Because how many people know you make mistakes and that's when you learn? Right? I've seen this over and over again. Oh my gosh, and like I said, I have seen it in the workplace. We've seen it in school. Come on, okay, raise your hand if you've seen stuff like this happen in the workplace. The takeover, bulldozer, step aside, I got this. Okay, raise your hand if you won't. Okay, so you've seen it in relationships, family relationships, the family Christmas party. Yeah, come on, we know, right? Okay, we've seen it in churches. What? Because in our culture, we like to take over. And some people just don't care. They're just like, whatever, it's cool. Right? Okay. All right. Okay. I've seen the long-term effects of this, and not only does it wreck the relationships on the team and squash the creativity of the team and how productive that team can be, but I don't even want to say this. It just destroys the fruitfulness of it. It brings contention and strife in. And it says where there's contention and strife, there's every evil work. And it just gets unhealthy. So what am I going with this? What the story of King Uzziah is what? Know your lane. Know what God has called you to do. And if you run in that, man, he's going to bless you. And what iron sharpens iron, we're on a team of diverse people. And it doesn't mean to withhold like wisdom and counsel because, you know, there's a business side of ministry. There's a relationship, people, communication side of business. I went to school for organizational, interpersonal communications with a general business minor and a minor in human resources. And then I went to Bible school. And you know what? I'm so glad I got a diverse skill set. And that's good, right? But you know, things I didn't go to school for? Engineering, or how to build stuff, how to paint stuff, right, Brenton? Chief taught me how to paint, okay? You know, we can all learn from each other, but we thrive the most when we have what asked the Lord and prayed, and this is the lane I'm called in. There's a blessing that goes with it. And there's a blessing that partners when we support each other in it. It's called healthy. So you have to trust your team, and I'll say this, your team should be a diverse team. Groupthink is super dangerous. Anybody know what groupthink is? Groupthink means I only surround myself with people that look, think, and talk, and believe like I do. All your yes people. You'll just run right off a cliff, and everybody going, yeah, good job. So Proverbs 11:14 reminds us you should have a diverse team of what? Spiritually mature people. You know, people that like love and honor God, and they've had some success in some of these things, right? And they're going to keep you safe and accountable. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where there is no guidance or counsel, the people fall. Yay, good job. You're doing a great job. Run right off a cliff. Okay, we all went down. All right. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. So I taught months ago about, you know, we all fall in deception. We all have blind spots. What saves you from self-deception is surrounding yourself with a diverse team of spiritually mature people that you trust more than you trust yourself. And that takes work. And that takes time. And that takes lunch. Okay? And it takes vulnerability to build those type of relationships. But Uzziah had it on the front end, right? Remember Zechariah? But on the back end, he lost it. And he lost his humility and fear of the Lord. And he took the trap of pride and bulldozed, and this is what happened, and it's kind of sad. So I'm going to take a little detour, and I'm going to come back to the end of his story, but I want to say this. Okay, but what if you are, I'm going to take a sidestep. So remember, the censor or the incense burner, okay, what's the significance of it? And if you've ever been to some churches, that's still a part of their worship, right? And so it's this little jar on the end of a chain, and they put some coals in there and some sweet-smelling incense. All right, so in the Bible, this particular job was within the priests, but it was a specific descendants of Aaron. So it was just some of them could do this. And what if that is your actual job? This can go off track too. Because remember we talk about fear of God or honor for God and honor for people, right? This is what Uzziah had in the beginning that he lost. It comes with being excellent. Do you hear me? It comes with whatever I do unto the Lord. Whether it's seen or unseen. Okay, so the Old Testament, the task of these burning of incense was given to the descendants of Aaron, and it was the incense was a symbol of the worship and prayer of basically worship and prayer being a sweet smell unto God, and what incense rise. And there's songs that we sing, and you can go study it, okay? This was done twice a day to make sure the temple was filled, this is significant, with smoke, a sweet-smelling smoke. Now, I had to dig into this. I didn't know this. Well, I knew that the smoke was symbolic of the presence of God filling the house. It was symbolic, so you didn't forget he's in the house, right? So this was a smoke screen, and it was meant as this, once again, symbolic reminder of this shield. If there wasn't a smoke screen between the sinfulness of humanity and the holiness of God, if you saw all of God up front, remember in the Bible, if you just saw the face of God, you couldn't even handle it. Your body, your flesh couldn't handle it, and you died. And that's why later on in life, they were taken out of the body for vision and things like this. Interesting. So this is a side note because this is what happened, okay? So think of it like this. The smoke screen was a reminder back in the Old Testament, and Jesus tore the veil, praise God, but in the Old Testament, it'd be like trying to look at the sun without sunglasses on. Does that make sense? You know the eclipse? You know what? They just didn't have the capacity. So the sweet smell was a reminder of the presence of God, and the smoke was a smoke screen that kind of was this what veil, this filter between the flesh and the intensity of the glory of God, right? Because, oh my gosh, you couldn't stand in it. All right, so there was a protection in it. Now, here's the deep part here. Leviticus 10, verse 1. This is a sidestep, but we're going to learn something. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, okay? That means this was their lane. They were on the team. They were given the delegated task of burning incense. You're like, Pastor Sherry, where are you going? Stick with me here. All right? Each took a censer, the incense burner, and put fire in it and put incense in it, and they offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. What are you talking about? It's all going to make sense. The dictionary definition of profane: showing disrespect or contempt for sacred things. Irreverent. This is interesting. Sometimes we get overly familiar of what God has called us to do. And it could be in kids ministry, worship. It could be in building houses. Guys, my dad built houses. And when you found out someone's reputation for building that house was cutting corners and putting duct tape on stuff, that's dangerous, right? Okay? So it's important to not treat sacred things that you're called to do as common as not a big deal, okay? Nadab and Abihu, that was their job. They were on the official worship team, right? And they were doing the one, they were playing the one instrument they were supposed to play. They were the incense people, okay? They were the clapper. We always need, how many people know we need a designated clapper at YCF? Thank you, Wanda, for keeping us on beat. I appreciate you. I need it, okay? All right, now so they just got proud. Yeah, I'm doing my job. I'm doing pretty good. I've been doing this job for 10 years. You know, swinging the incense. Now what? I'm being joking. I'm being sacrilegious. Okay? And in their pride, they got lax. They got sloppy. They just grabbed an incense, grabbed some fire, kind of like the way this one smells, you know, little essential oils like the lavender, throw it in there, and carelessly, without honor, without remembering the awe of God, I'm in the house of the Lord. This is a task the Lord has given me to serve the people of God. What, to create a symbol of what? The presence of God that is here and the protective screen that we have. They didn't worship God the way God not only deserved to be worshiped, but he had asked them to worship him. And how many people know in a relationship, if you just sloppy with your love and don't do what they asked you to do, you can say you love them, but you're not loving them the way they asked. Especially, listen, men need respect and honor. You can say you love your husband if you just talk trash to him all the time. It doesn't matter how many times you say you love him. You're not showing it in an honorable, respectful way. Join marriage group. We're going to launch it this fall. It's going to be great. Okay. So this is what happened. They offered an irreverent, unacceptable offering. They just decided to worship God however they felt. And they lost their reverence. They lost their awe. And this is what happened, and it's all going to tie in. New Living Translation says this: in this way, they disobeyed God by burning before him the wrong kind of fire, different than he had commanded. It was called, quote, in the ESV, unauthorized fire. They got sloppy, they got proud, and they said, that's good enough. They started making excuses for it, right? They started treating what was sacred to God as common as it wasn't a big deal. And they lost their fear and honor for the Lord. And this is how it played out. Leviticus 10:2, it says, New Living Translation. It says, so the fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence. The Berean Standard says this, it consumed them, burned them up, and they died there in the presence of the Lord. That's really heavy. That's like heavy stuff. This is Old Testament. It's heavy stuff. They approached God flippantly. It's not a big deal. They became too familiar. It's just the job. You know, I'm on the schedule once a month. It's not a big deal. And this is what Moses said to Aaron, the father of his two. He just lost his two sons. And this is what, so Moses went to prayer. His heart's breaking for his brother. These are his nephews. And it said, Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, when you're seeking God, when you're drawing near to him, right? I must be regarded as holy. Before all the people, I must be glorified. God is making it clear, if you want to know him intimately, if you want to serve him honorably, you have to treat him as holy and not take for granted what God has given you. And maybe God has given you in a season of children's ministry. Maybe God has given you a season of being a teacher, or ready for this, a tutor in the schools, or gosh, Mindy, you helped serve the kids in the cafeteria. That is holy and beautiful to the Lord. That is what he has called you. You're a missionary. And man, you walk in the peace, love, and joy of the Lord. And we're not going to take that for granted. We're going to pray for you. We all have different things that we're called to do. And we are going to go places that no one else can go. My dad took a season from pastoring where he built houses. And I'll tell you, he got to share Jesus and his testimony, which had some big bumps along the way, with people that would have never stood foot in the doors of this church. And they are watching how you drive those nails and what corners you cut and how many studs you put up, right? They're watching the spirit of excellence that we serve in the name of Jesus. Let's not take those things lightly. When we just kind of show up, fill in the gap, I didn't need to study the lesson, you know, I'll just wing the Bible study. You know, it'll be fine. You know, I've been doing this so long, you know, it'll be fine. I showed up late. They can wait on me. It's not a big deal. They should just be happy I'm here. Wow. I've heard people say this stuff. Oh my gosh. Okay. Hey, remember Cain? This is a little hot, right? You get a little hot. We'll talk about Cain. When we get sloppy and just give God what we think is good enough, remember Cain? There was the offering that the Lord wanted, and Cain gave God sloppy seconds. Went through the bank account, threw in 20 bucks, and just said, that's good enough. You should just be happy I gave you anything, Lord. Now, this is interesting. When God confronted Cain with truth and correction, Cain, like Uzziah, and now we're going to go back to Uzziah, got angry. In their pride, in their defensiveness, because there's nothing like truth that hurts. Man, when it's God's word, you can't argue with it, right? But you can take things out of context to try to, what, debate with God. Huh. Interesting. Genesis 4:5 says, Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. I'm just going to go pout about it. And then Cain went and killed the competition, his brother, that made him look bad. And we do that with our words sometimes, don't we? Flash back to Uzziah. Remember, this whole thing is about finding out what lane you're called into. God will bless it. Learn how to be a team player and trust your team. Okay? 2 Chronicles 26, verse 19. After his team of 80 priests, these are what? Servant leaders. This is a diverse group of spiritually mature people that are serving the Lord, right? Humbly, men of valor, men of honor. After the team of 80 priests confronted King Uzziah for his own safety. Guys, they're doing this for his own safety. What? Because what? They knew, Aaron, what? You go in there swinging the incense and you get sloppy and arrogant. They should just be happy I showed up. They died. So what? I think the priests were running in to probably save the life of the king. Trust your team. And they confronted him. And it says Uzziah was enraged. This isn't just like, I'm a little irritated, I'm a little offended. He is enraged. Pride does that to you, right? And he said he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was enraged with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead, which was a skin disease. And if you understand the significance of leprosy, we're going to teach on that. Before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the incense altar. So this is just something. Now, what are we going to learn from this? When we're confronted by our team, whether it's in our lane or the parallel lane, look at it. If they're people of honor, you know what I mean? They've been serving the Lord. You know, they're spiritually mature. Listen. Take a pause and listen. And just go, maybe I don't agree with you. Because I'm wrapped up in the moment, my own emotions, my own entitlement, whatever. But take a pause for your own sake and go, I'm going to just make my heart really neutral. Even though it hurts my pride. And I'm going to go pray and search the word. I'll get some more godly counsel. Because it could not only save your life, your legacy, but even, I'll go into it. Let's see here. Why did he get angry? Pause. You should pause, because he should go, why am I so angry? Why am I so enraged? Okay? He's angry because he believes he's right. Duh. Hi. Guys, we're angry because we really believe we're right. And when you really believe you're right, and there's scriptural precedents, and a group of mature Christian believers that are coming to you saying, this probably isn't healthy, it's not going to go well, I might be deceived. Right? Deceived means I really think I'm right. I'm really blind. And guess what? We all have blind spots. We all have deception in our lives. I'm not even saying that not everything's a spirit. We just have blind spots in our life, right? We have things that we're not good at that we think we're good at. You know, your spouse will tell you. Okay. So what was his solution? Trust your team. Real talk. Look at the fruit of their lives and go, wait, you know what? They're different than me. They have a different lane. But there's a lot of them, and they're all saying the same thing. And you know what? Maybe they're trying to save me from myself. Maybe they're trying to save me from my pride, my own destruction. Take pause, search the word of God, consider the source. Look at the fruit of their lives. Keep your heart neutral. Start seeking God, right? If the king had stopped and done this, just put down the censer. Just, you know what? I'm angry. I'm really angry. I can't believe you're talking to me like that. Do you know who I am? I'm the king. Don't you know that because of my armies and what I've done and my sacrifices, you even have a temple right now? The Philistines would have taken everything out. They do that all. You should be thanking me. Just put down the censer. What? Walk out and go seek God and get some more godly counsel, because it will save your life, your legacy, and the fruitfulness of what, ready for this, what you're called to do. So this is what happens, okay? 2 Chronicles 26:19. It says, then Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests turned to him and saw that the disease was on his forehead, and they rushed him out of there, and he himself also hurried out of there. He's like, I got to get out of here. They're like, you got to get out of here. We got to get out of here, because the Lord had struck him. Now, what's the significance? Okay, leprosy was, if you look at the cultural context, and I don't have a lot of time, so you can go back and look on it, but leprosy represented death. And if you look at the Old Testament laws, if you touch someone with leprosy, you could transmit, it was contagious. So if you interacted knowingly or unknowingly with someone with leprosy, you had to go clean yourself. What? Guys, we went through a pandemic, guys. You know, because if you really love people, you're going to be careful to not spread something that's unhealthy, right? Okay, so leprosy, it was uncurable. It was a horrible disease. Go back and read it. Okay, so it represented death. Now, you couldn't go back in the temple if you had it or if you interacted with it unless you washed yourself, okay? Because you're contagious. All right, so God is holy and he is the essence of life, right? So the symbol of the holy God, he is the essence of life. So death, disease, destruction shouldn't be in the same place. Now, this is Old Testament. Listen, isn't it great God set us free from this and he's the healer? So there's a New Testament solution to this, but this is why he's like, you got to leave because you're contagious with something really toxic right now. And it's rooted in pride. And it's contagious. So this is how it played out. 2 Chronicles 26:21. So King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. And he lived in isolation. This is the worst way to die. I think that's actually the most horrific way to die alone. It's awful. He lived in isolation because of the contagion of his disease, right? In a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. And his son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the land of the people. He lost his lane. And that was the lane that God blessed him in. It was the lane that prospered. The entire nation was blessed. The priests and the temple were blessed too. His team and the parallel team was blessed when he was doing what he was called to do. But his team tried to save him. And all this happened because King Uzziah's heart and his own success got lifted up with pride. Now here's some deep thoughts I'm going to leave you with. At the end of Uzziah's day and his own success, and we are all called into what? Nurses, teachers, engineers, business, farmers. We have all these different areas that God has called us to represent him. And what? And he wants to bless you. If you're excellent, he's going to bless you, right? And he wants this for you. But in his success, when he got into pride, here we go, listen. Did Uzziah, and you don't have to say it out loud, but think about it. Did Uzziah get more spiritual or less? Now think. I know it's a little bit of a trick question. Think about it. I'll help me rephrase it. In Uzziah's later days, after he got into success and pride, did he act, wink, wink, quote, quote, did he act more spiritual or less? I know, right? I had to reread this too when I was studying it out. He acted more spiritual. Now, I want to talk about something that I've seen in the church. There is something about when people start falling into pride that they start getting hyper-spiritualized. They start spiritualizing everything, and they'll make a decision, and they'll say they want to do something, and suddenly it was God that told them. I actually get really nervous, and I was taught this in Bible school and under the mentorship that I'm still under by an advisor, and he said this: be very careful when you tell people, especially as pastor or as king or as what, the head of your department, I really prayed and God told me this is what we're supposed to do. You're hyper-spiritualizing something. You're getting a little religious because now guess what? You're telling everyone that if you don't agree with me, you're going against God. Whew. Interesting. This is just, like I said, and I have mentors and spiritual advisors. I have friends that I meet with. Brad and I go on double dates with other pastors and other churches. And these are the things we kind of talk about. We keep each other, what, accountable in our lane. We support each other because I have friends at other churches that are great at stuff I'm not good at. And I love supporting them. And they support me. But when we get in pride, we start to hyper-spiritualize everything. Everything's super spiritual, super religious. And like, God doesn't always need you to, you know, pray, should I eat tacos or pizza today? I don't know. But God said, family, we're getting tacos today. And you're like, but I wanted pizza. Well, you're going against God. I mean, people get weird. Does anybody had a situation like this where you've been in a meeting and they're like, but I heard. And you're, wait, did you? Or is it something you've, I prayed a lot about it and I felt in my heart, that's a little bit better, you know? I kind of feel led in this direction, but I try to say, listen, God talks to me. I get dreams, I get visions, I see stuff. But I normally say, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but this is what I feel led to do. Just something to be thinking about, okay? Religious people make it weird. They make it more spiritual than it has to be. And it's okay. Could you guys go? God, the great thing about of God is a father, and he's empowered his kids to make decisions. Don't you just love, Whitney's got three boys. Don't you love, you raise them the best way you can. Isn't it great when you watch them make a great decision? And when they make a bad decision, it's like, well, we're going to learn from it, right? So sometimes you're just making a decision and learn from it. But we don't have to hyper-spiritualize everything, okay? You don't have to make it weird, okay? And I don't want to talk about this in my conclusions as I was looking at his life. It's also important to not fall into an entitlement mindset. And by the way, this is American society. This is a cultural thing, guys. Now think about it. Within our culture, there is a mindset of entitlement. And you're just born into it. In his pride, Uzziah thought he was entitled to go take something that was given to someone else and burn the incense. Okay, what are you talking about, Sherry? He was so successful doing the one thing he's called to do, he thought it was entitled, he was entitled then to run in someone else's lane. Or tell them, you're not doing it good enough because I would do it different. And this is real talk. It's like a professional plumber going in and telling the professional master carpenter, that's not how you do that. Now, they're both deserve honor and respect, right? And you can give advice and counsel. And how many people know? Everybody's got opinions. And it's good to listen to what wise counsel, but don't be so arrogant where you go, hey, you know, be careful I say this. I love when I'm like, people tell you that have not studied or has no work experience in something, and they go up to someone and be like, Angie, let me tell you how to run a class, right? Because Angie, like, you made every sacrifice to go to school, and you have all this work experience. And by the way, she's back in school. So I think I would ask her for advice. You know, hey, there's something I learned teaching my kid this. I've learned this, but what do you think, right? And that's running healthy lane by lane. You guys following this? Okay. I just want to make it practical here. All right, we're talking about entitlement. An entitlement mindset is never satisfied. Culture. An entitlement mindset is never satisfied, and they're always greedy for more. And they're overly focused on protecting what I have, because it's mine, or what they feel like they're entitled to have. Because they normally feel insecure. Do I got to repeat this a little bit? I was studying some things out. An entitlement mindset is never satisfied because it's always greedy for more because it's focusing on protecting what I already have or what I feel entitled to have because really at the end of it, they're insecure. They're not secure. And they're afraid of losing what they think they have or are entitled to have. This is American culture. Holidays, I work customer service. Raise your hand if you have served our nation in customer service. We are entitled to have good customer service, even over things I cannot control. I work customer service and shipping. You cannot control FedEx, I'm sorry. You can't control the traffic accident, and yet I am profoundly apologizing to you, and you're still yelling at me and being your worst ugly self because you are entitled to have your package on time, and I can't help you. This is American culture. Hello, airlines. I am entitled to get on that flight. I am so sorry. You can't get on that flight. I can't change the weather pattern. I'm telling you, people become their ugliest, worst self because they feel they're entitled to have something that maybe it's outside of their control. Something to think about. A life of entitlement is pushing for what we think we deserve, and you're never going to be fulfilled because it'll never be enough. This is American culture and what we're to read it for ourselves. So by the way, if you're in that line where someone else is getting yelled at, please step in and remind them they can't control it, okay? And this is something to think about. Everything we have been given is a gift. The lane we've been given, and it's a hard lane sometimes. This world is tough. You know, career paths are tough. It's a gift to serve God to the best of our capability with excellence and honor for God first and then people. And he's placed us on teams and alongside teams. And with that gift comes great responsibility to represent him well. And Jesus was a humble servant leader. So the actions of King Uzziah led up to a consequence of sin. And you know, it was really sad. His team tried to save him. So what's the lesson of the story? Pray and hear what your lane is and trust your team. And I'm on team Jesus first and foremost, but I'm going to trust the word and I'm going to look scripture. And guys, look for scripture in context because those hyper-spiritualized people, they'll throw scripture at you and you go, well, let's open up the whole chapter here, you know? But they tried to save him. And for this reason, the legacy of King Uzziah is very interesting. They excavated and found his grave because the city of Jerusalem had expanded and they had to move the grave. This is interesting. They had to move the gravesite. I studied this out. And inside was listed, here lie the bones of King Uzziah. Do not open. Like the mummy. Don't open it. Because I'll say that mindset of pride and entitlement and religion, it's not only toxic, it's contagious. So what are we reading this lesson for? Myself. If you're thinking of someone else, we're not doing this the right way. Amen? going to review the fatal flaws. Here we go. No, I don't. You guys have paid attention. It's online. You guys follow me?
Yes.
Cool. Let's stand up and pray. I can throw out two pages of notes. You guys are so smart. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just love you and we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the men and women that have done their best to serve you, and some have failed and some have succeeded, and we have something to learn from everyone. And we have something to learn from everyone in this room, in the teams, in the career paths that you've placed us on, in business, in our families, in the neighborhood, in society. Lord, let us learn from you and from each other. And Lord, if we have fallen into pride or entitlement, if we're not honoring our team, and Lord, you gave a scripture that says when we honor a prophet in the name of the prophet, we receive that reward. When we honor church leaders, there's a reward. Then it says if we honor our peer group, there's a reward. If we honor the little ones we're called to serve, there's a reward. Lord, there's an honor system, and it all starts with honoring you first and honoring people. Lord, let us always have open hearts and open minds. Have a correctable heart. Lord, we want to finish strong. We want to be known as people of excellence, that even when we mess up, it just says be quick to repent, and that saves us. So Lord, if we have overstepped in areas, if we've gotten overly critical of someone else's team or just in an unhealthy mindset, God, we just repent. And Lord, I thank you that you're confirming our lanes and we're supporting each other. We're encouraging each other. We're praying for each other. We're giving each other wisdom, guidance, and counsel, Lord God. We want to glorify you in the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You are loved. If I can have some ministry directors and grow group leaders, about five up here, if anyone wants prayer or just encouragement, healing, we would love to pray for you. If you